All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God that is the sword of the Spirit. And we thank you for the life that is in Jesus by your Spirit that's in us. And we ask of you tonight to teach us. I also ask that you would cause us to stand and receive the prophecy you've given us as a church to be alive. And can these bones live? Lord, you know. Pray that you would teach us through the failings, sin, weaknesses, courage of your saints in the Scriptures, and cause us in our day to see clearly and then hear clearly, and that you would give us the Holy Spirit so that we know what we are to do. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Judges 4, and again, and the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. Now, took a look at this, the witness of what this is, that the children of Israel did evil. This is the one reference where it doesn't describe that they went and served other gods, but that again implies that they went back to their sinful ways. Or again, I'm looking this up in the New Testament, any direct reference in the Scriptures to the church being evil. Now, and there isn't one for the whole, but there's a lot of the references. If, like, for example, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, Jesus was very clear on this, the evil that's within, when he described that food doesn't defile, but out of the heart. And so, again, I look at this a bit with a bit of interest tonight. Again, I got stuck on that again, and I just want to give you something diagnostic as I pastor, right? And this is diagnostic. When sin repeats in your life, when there's a cycle, that's evidence of unrepentance. And that's diagnostic for me. Have we been here before? The children of Israel did it again. Now, I begin here with us because I think it's necessary to begin that we would see in the children of Israel the way that they went and how they did this again, so that we would learn from their mistakes. We would learn from the things that are written down, and maybe that would be enough of an admonishment to cause us to listen. Because I do believe that tonight is about hearing what God has said to us. And as I lay this forth, again, they did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. This was the pattern that was described as the book of Judges is written, and back in chapter 2, the pattern was that the people of God turned away from God and began serving and worshiping other gods, and then God would send them or give them over to the power and control of another, and in doing so, they would cry out to the Lord. Now, I got to be careful tonight because I'm pretty clear I'm not to emphasize what went wrong. We can do that pretty well in church, can't we? In fact, that's the stuff we probably talk about more than we ought to talk about. And yet God is faithful to record that which went wrong, but it never ends that way for the children of Israel. And in that they did turn away, Ehud had died, and again that leader, once he died, they went back, and then the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan. So there's a progression here to note. Their first king that ruled over them was from way over in Mesopotamia. I guess if you go to the map, I'd be taking you that way. And then the king that overtook them next was from Moab, right next door. And now this king is overtaking them is of those nations that were left that they did not root out, and that king is raised up from among them. Now, interestingly enough, same name of this king in the same city that Joshua destroyed when they, and well, really, it was in one series of battles with all the northern kings. There was a Jabin king of Hetzor. Now, certainly not the same king, but the name, and it's worthy to see that that again doing evil, the Lord sold them into the hand of a king by name and place by name that they had already defeated. This is good for us to listen, that you can have a victory over an area, or you can get free from a sin only to do what sometimes? Find yourself going back. Now, we read about the tragedies, and again, I think it's enough to just use that word. For all the men at the men's conference, we were exhorted to learn from tragedy so that we wouldn't repeat that. In fact, part of the uncovering of the tragedies of the men who completely did it again, did evil again, and then finally that last time that they did that evil, they were found out. And they were done. Now, it didn't need to go that way, but we should learn from that that there has to be this rooting out. So back to my diagnostics. If you're repeating the same sins, or you're in relationship and every so, like say every month or 6 weeks, you're back to the same fighting, strife, sin, dealing with the same things, there's no repentance. Now, when the Holy Spirit said Sardis to me, one of the instructions, and number 5 of the instructions, was to preach and teach repentance for the church. And that's the angle here, that we would not live like the rest of the world. We as believers, being in this world, anybody looked around and see what this world is like? I've looked around, and there's a whole portion of it I don't want to look at. Okay, I don't want to live like that. And again, as I think about this instruction that the Lord sold them into the hand of the king of Hetzor, a Canaanite, and then it's noted here that the captain of the host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. This is northern Galilee. If any, as you travel up there, this is Hetzor is basically due north of the Sea of Galilee. I don't think in any of the recent tours we've stopped there. You know, so we've been there and been at the museum that's right there, and their active archaeological dig when we were there. So this takes us all the way back to 2005. But the location of this is northern Israel. The children of Israel cried unto the Lord. So again, you see the cycle. But this is now where we want to emphasize, and I think this is exactly where the Lord wants us to be at, is the people to cry out to the Lord. So when you look at the prayer, you look at the crying out to the Lord. And once again, as we started this year, seeking the Lord, and the Holy Spirit said to do a week of prayer. And I thought it was prayer and fasting. Remember that? And I came to in the middle of the night, almost like a shot, to wide awake in an instant with verses from Zechariah, where it was when we fast in the 5th and 6th month, you know, was that the fast you had chosen? And the Lord in the scripture said, did you really do that for me? And I knew very clearly we were not to fast that first week of January, but we were to pray and rejoice. Now we're hitting the second 6 months of this year. And again, I've been praying, and I've been, again, what does the Holy Spirit want us to do? And I'm listening to this crying out to the Lord. And as the children of Israel are crying to the Lord, they're not crying out, right, for anything else, but they're crying out for mercy. They know they've done wrong. They know that they have done evil. They know that they have worshipped other gods. And the king that was handed over unto, he ruled them, again, you would say, with a rod of iron, or again, chariots of iron, 900 chariots of iron. That's a lot. I mean, you think of an army today that would have 900 tanks, or that's quite a bit of force. And then the phrase in there, he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. Now, the word they're oppressed, again, not going to look into anything and spiritualize the word oppressed. I think this is a literal word. They experienced and felt the crushing, if you will. It's the same word that's described when Balaam is riding on his donkey and they get in that narrow spot and the donkey can't turn one way or the other. And again, you know the whole interaction. And it said that his foot was crushed. And that's right before the donkey speaks to him. You know, again, if you put that together, this oppression is so God can get our attention. And children of Israel, they're in that. They're being pressed so that they will listen to God. Now it says 20 years. I've been working on this a bit for us to see and take 20 years. And in a way, you could say, have you been pressed for 20 years? Well, I'm looking at the last five. I went back to this today and I went back to hear what the Spirit says, part five, and I went back to my notes of 2019. We've been in an oppression since 2019. Okay? End of 2019. When I describe it that way, the world, not just us. And so you can go along your happy little way and say, oh, things are great, because that's what you're supposed to say. Have a great day. Things are going great, but they're not. Okay? In fact, we're closer to what the Bible said, the way that things would be like in the last days than what you're told to think and believe and have. Now, that's not for me to cause any of you to have fear. You got to watch out for that, the way news is presented sometimes, to be afraid. In fact, I would draw your attention and your heart and your mind unto Psalm 118 that says, put your trust in the Lord. What is it, 118:8? I think it's said to be the central verse of the Bible by the numbers of all the verses. Put your trust in the Lord. As we watch what happens for the children of Israel in the days of the judges, and I introduce this again from a standpoint of us being a living church by the living God, the living Son of God, and His living Holy Spirit, who gives us living water, and we have the living Word, we're alive. Okay? So that said, to be alive. And Deborah, prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time, and she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel and Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. I don't think any of us in the room even have a street named after us, let alone a whole, hey, where's she at? Palm tree of Deborah. She became that well known. Now listen up here. Hey, listen to me. This is given for a contrast. This word prophetess first shows up with Miriam. Okay, so when you study through the scriptures and you're looking at this woman Deborah who's just on the scene now in Judges chapter 4, and I'm looking at this, when Ehud died, they did evil in the sight of the Lord. That means Deborah is a judge during a time of oppression. Okay, and I believe this contrast is in place. So you look at the comparison together with Miriam to understand that she's a prophetess. But I believe God gave us a contrast in the letters to the seven churches. Remember how we began studying this and I had the seven men come up and read the seven letters and give us all an exhortation? Did anybody hear from the Holy Spirit on that night? When we went through that, let he who has ears hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. And I emphasize it this way as I'm looking at this Deborah prophetess. Again, my contrast is that letter to Thyatira in Revelation 2. So that book of Judges, now we're talking letters that Jesus sent to his church. So in Thyatira, unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who has his eyes like unto a flame of fire, his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, thy charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess. Again, this is, I think, it's our contrast. So here you have this woman that they identify as Jezebel, but she called herself a prophetess, and she taught and seduced Jesus' servants to commit fornication and eat things sacrificed to idols. Now, I do believe that one of the things we're looking at now if there is a way for us to listen to the Holy Spirit in regards to church, it's to take to heart what the Spirit of God has said to us in those seven letters. And we can hold that. Now, we've never been told we're Thyatira. And now, you, as you listen to the Spirit, you may have had to address things like that in your personal life. But I believe this is given for a contrast for us to see. Deborah is hearing from God. Okay. And again, don't put into the Bible what the Bible doesn't say. This is not the time for you to have your men and women issues. Okay? None of that's in the Scripture. It's always read into it if you put it in there. You can make the Bible say whatever you want to say, and if you're not careful, what will you do to it? You'll put you into it. Now, what I'm telling you is Deborah hears from God. So, Miriam heard from God, and Miriam did what? Sinned. Right? Just like Moses, again, Aaron and Miriam sinned against Moses, and remember the whole thing with the leprosy, and then she's unclean and outside the camp, and right? So again, this doesn't mean person doesn't sin. But that contrast of giving that room for repentance in the church, that there was a woman in that church of Thyatira that was named Jezebel, or again, as that is put there, and she had room to repent and did not. So what I'm talking to us about, if we catch what was told us in Sardis, having a name that's alive but you're dead. And you'll notice my emphasis tonight, and I'm emphasizing this on purpose because we are not to be dead, but we're to be alive. And what makes us alive? The Holy Spirit. Right? You think of Ezekiel 37 for Israel, they all stand up, they have flesh, their bones stand up, rattle together, then the flesh and then the ligaments and everything comes together, but they're still not what? Still not alive, still not breathing. And that's where Ezekiel was told to prophesy for the breath of God to come. And again, it's a reference to the Spirit filling Israel and then Israel's rebirth. And again, I believe it's fulfilled in the nation that they will be saved. The Spirit will fill believing Israel. And yet there's so many things for us to learn as we pick this up along the way. And I lay it out this way. This is something, and not just in that contrast of the woman who is hearing from God with Deborah. That's why she's judging Israel. She's hearing God. Okay? And then you have the woman who's not hearing from God, yet she's teaching in the church, Thyatira. And then another contrast for you. End of, what is that, 1 Samuel, where Saul goes to consult a medium. Now, if you ever look at the text, it says he sought a woman who would be able to do that. Again, another kind of, he didn't seek a man, he sought a woman who would be able to do that. And as I describe this, here we have Deborah judging Israel. And I'm just going to now compare this with something that the Holy Spirit has said. So again, I just lay this forth. Proverbs 20:12, the Lord has made the hearing ear and the seeing eye. Now, that puts all of us here together tonight to where I want us to be at. And this is what this is about, hearing what the Spirit says. Now, some of us went to a conference that was titled that in the beginning of June. Okay? And I don't know if you heard the Holy Spirit there, but I sure did. Okay? And I come back now, and I've been looking now at the last 5 years. So I did Hear What the Spirit Says, Part 5. That was from my notes in 2019. I have not done a Hear What the Spirit Says, Part 6. And so that's forthcoming. The things that I know that I've heard from the Holy Spirit for us as church. Not for me as an individual, for us as church. And when I put this forth, that Deborah's hearing from God, that you have these contrasts. She's hearing from God, and how do I know that? The children of Israel come up to her for judgment, end of verse 5. Now, when you study through the Scriptures, there's only one person that so far up into this in history that has done that for the people of God. That's Moses. Not even Joshua did this. In fact, when you study, there's a when the spirit that was upon Moses then was shared out with the 70, so they could help judge and rule. Here you have a judge in this day again, and that first thing that the Lord said to us about hearing from the Spirit of God, not being dead but alive, is remove your perception, remove my perception of whom God speaks to. Is that a whom or a who there? Who's the language person right off? Do I need who or whom? What is it? You don't know? Okay. Remove my perception of who God can speak to. Or remove my perception of who God speaks to. Right? Who? Who's who? Thanks, Elijah. All right. So now, when I lay this forth, what are we doing here in the book of Judges tonight? I'm just going to emphasize what's written there. She's a prophetess. The real deal. Now, when they find the law, when they're doing a renovation of the temple, King Josiah's day, okay, they read it and they say, oh, and again, that repentance begins. They realize in the reading of the Word of God, which had been lost, actually not lost, but tucked away and hidden to be protected, and then it was found again when they were renovating, and then they read it, and the king is tearing his garments because he's recognizing when the Word came back and had its place, they're like, we're not walking with God. And then they sent to Huldah a prophetess to inquire, what does the Lord say? Now, when I describe it in this way, this is what's happening in the days of the judges. The people of God are coming up to call upon her for judgment. Why? Because she's hearing from God. Now, think about it, church. Now, this is what we need to know, that we're hearing from God. When you talk about reading your Bible, and again, as you study your scriptures and do that, under the law, when someone was going to inquire for judgment, if they had a case that in their cities they couldn't handle, they were to bring their judgment under the priests, who would consult the Urim and the Thummim. Or again, many think lights and perfection and a series of pulling these stones out, that they would be able to discern God's answer, that he was choosing which stone and then he would give answer. But I just draw your attention. So now we understand in the days of Judges, this is a spiritually low time. So when you hear me talk about the spiritual state of the church, when we study everything about Sunday, 1 Corinthians, and just bringing this point home to us, carnal or spiritual? Carnal or spiritual? And I'm calling us to be spiritual. And applying that and listening to that and seeing that in a low spiritual time of oppression, in which even the priests are not functioning under the law in that place of being able to hear from God, there's this woman who hears from God. Why don't you, women, be that woman who hears from God? Why don't you, men, be that man where you are that hears from God? A whole church filled up with people who will listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, why I describe it in that way and stir you up, and you're going to see that here in just a bit, I believe. Verse 6, and she sent and called Barak, son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali. Again, Kadesh is a prefix for holy. Just, you catch a little bit of the play here on that. She sent and called for him and said, hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward the Mount Tabor, take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and the children of Zebulun. Now we introduce, I'm just studying this and I'm reading this, and we're being introduced to Deborah this way. So then what she says in verse 6, that this is gift of prophecy, right? She's hearing from God. Now when you can just apply this, and here's why, I want to sharpen us. So I want you to take that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and I want you to have it sharp in your life. Meaning, when you hear what God says in His Word, and He speaks to you, that when you hear the Spirit, get up and do it. Okay? So one of the things that I would say, thank you, Bronzo. You didn't open it? One of the things I would say, now, I don't know what your perspective was, but the moment that Pastor Chick started sharing at the men's conference and the way that he introduced that, and when he said what he said, and he gave a word of knowledge. And why I say that is that immediately at that spot in time, all of you have to decide what. Because he was as bold to say, the Holy Spirit has shown me, and He said two specific things. Everyone there has an opportunity to do what? Agree or okay, or not agree. So what I'm putting before you, just look at this. She sent and called Barak, son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh, and says, "Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded?" Now, we don't know if they have a relationship. I suspect that in the prominent place of which he quickly has, they know who each other, who they are. They're not that far away. So it's not like she's just calling this guy up at random, but now it could be, right? It could be that he was not known before this. But she sent and called for this man, and then that phrase, "Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded?" Now, to me, that's a word of knowledge. She's getting what God said to another. Now, if you catch the context of what this is, again, did you realize the Holy Spirit was this alive and well in the Old Testament? You need to understand that. You need to understand that. That God has not been limited and is not limited, nor will He be limited in the ways that He can speak to His people. We limit the Holy One of God by our sin. Okay? Now, when I describe this in the midst of oppression, in the midst of, mightily oppressed, this woman, Deborah, is hearing from God. She's a prophetess. People are coming to hear for the judgments. And then she calls upon this Barak, and her opening statement to him is, "Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded?" Now I'm just going to set it right there for us. It's time for you to decide personally and individually what it means for you for the Lord God to command you. You know, some of us going back and forth over this, what does it mean to be called? Well, if it means to be called into the ministry and called to serve God, then you can't quit until what? Till the end. Like the difference between a volunteer and a servant. If you're called a servant, you serve. Now, what I'm looking at here is Deborah the prophetess is calling and sending for Barak, and knows that the Lord God of Israel. And there is no other. I mean, again, you just take that, the Lord God of Israel. There is no other God. In heaven, that His name is the Lord, and He's the existing one, and on earth there is none beside Him. Has not the Lord God commanded you, saying, "Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and the children of Israel." Now, a couple things that I want to... These are exact quotes that I'm bringing up. Remove my perception of who God speaks to. So get your ears open and listen, and the Holy Spirit may want to speak at any given point and instant in your life. Meaning you might hear Him as you're in your prayer closet reading your Bible. You might hear Him as you're in a conversation. Or when something like this happens, when somebody says, "Well, aren't you supposed to be?" And they give you your last command that God gave to you, and you haven't done it. That's Barak. He has not done this command, and so then She repeats the command, go and draw toward Mount Tabor. Now, by the way, when I bring contrast, that's the mountain that overlooks the valley of Jezreel, and just right down the bottom of Tabor is the Witch of Endor's house. Yet future, but that's Dor right there. And then you have Nazareth, which is up the Jezreel Valley. So it's right in the heart of Israel. And the command to get 10,000 men from those two tribes, and again, specific phrases, remove my perception of who God speaks to, and this phrase, can I hear him? This is what you need to know. Can you hear God? Are you hearing the Holy Spirit? And then this one, the Lord has previously told me. These are specific things. And I want you to write that one down right over to the side there as Deborah is calling for Barak. And between you and the Holy Spirit, do you remember what it is? What God has previously told you. Just write it down. Put it in your notes. Write it down what you know the Holy Spirit has said to you. Now, in agreement with verse 7, so his command was go and draw 10,000 men, and this is what God will do. Verse 7, and I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon. By the way, that's the same river where they fetch the water in the showdown with Elijah had with the 450 plus the 400 probably prophets on that day when fire came down from heaven and they had to choose who was God. Same river. So, I will draw unto thee Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and multitude. And at that point, that's not good news. It's like, you go to Tabor and you set up there and I'll bring his army to you. But then that second phrase, I will deliver him into thine hand. Now, I know why Barak did not go up. Don't you know why he didn't go up? Fear. How about this? Did I really hear God? Did I hear God correctly? Okay. It's time for that to end in our lives. Okay, everybody track him with me now. See, what we're being called unto and what the Holy Spirit's been working and the things that we're listening to, and I go back to January. Well, I can go back to October with the women considering their ways and what that's meant for the families. I can go to January and we took that week of prayer, and I can look at March and I can step right through this. And this is becoming very clear. And it's this. You have to know what the Spirit of God has said to you. You might be afraid to do it. So over here in my notes, I emphasize in verse 7, this is what God will do. Put that first. Okay? When you're reading your scriptures and you have the promises of what God will do. So there was a My Utmost not too long ago that kind of worked this way. Because God is this way, then my response is in accord with what he said. The say-so of God. God says, I will never leave you, right? Therefore, I put my trust in him. You see that interaction. So now, Barak is having what God told him previously now being shared by Deborah to him. And I'm going to probably go out there on the limb and say probably word for word. Or now with a bit more exhortation with it. So think of Jonah, first time around. Right? He heard clearly what God wanted him to do and he went the other way. And you'll notice that after he gets spit out, it goes all the way through the whole thing, and he's spit out back on the land, guess what he hears again? Go to Nineveh. The same thing. Now, this isn't about, like, you know, you trying to squirm out of what God said to you. Jonah, that's the book of Jonah. Barak, I don't think, is trying to squirm out of it. So verse 7 is what God will do. Verse 8, what will you do? So Barak said unto her, if thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if you won't go with me, then I won't go. Okay, so 7 is what God will do. Verse 8 is, what will you do? Barak makes it here, and I understand this. Deborah's hearing from God. Now, back in 2018 in Mexico, I think it was 18, if I have the year right, the ministry there was looking at getting some property donated from one of their donors in the States who had some money, and they were looking at a piece of property out at what we now know as Carmen Sudan. And they were going out there and just about to finalize everything. And we went out there on that trip, Pastor Ben from Calvary Chapel of the Uttermost Parts of the World, the UP. He was getting his hair cut, and I swung into the barbershop, like, get in the car, let's get going. And then I took all the young gals who prophesy. And we went out there, and we prayed, and they all prophesied over that parcel of land. And now when I go back, I've got these pictures of where our feet were all trotting on that ground, and we go out there, and they're building that property up and using it. And we had prophecy that day, and we came back. Again, God told us what he will do in that context. Now, verse 8 is, what will you do? So I know why he took Deborah. So he does hear from God. Can you get this, right? He heard from God. I think that's what Deborah's like, has not the Lord commanded you? And so when someone like that can tell you what God has said to you, that's Deborah. Okay? He takes her along. She said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. Now you'll recognize here that as this plays out in the, again, just the way it is. The Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman, and Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, went up with 10,000 men at his feet. Now, again, do you see God at work? So, whatever you thought about Barak, that, oh, he just didn't get up and go, listen, he is the one who's going to be in the battle, right? He's the one leading. And then just that phrase, which one of you could get 10,000 men to do anything? Right? So he goes, and you say, well, God will do it. So the first thing that the Lord would do is to draw 10,000 men. The command is get 10,000 men and get to Tabor. He does it. They're at his feet, right? 10,000 men at his feet. Again, they're following him. Now, very important for us, I believe, that we listen to how important it is for us to hear the Spirit of God. Almost every church in this town that's evangelical has decidedly chosen wisdom of man above the Spirit of God. Or they weren't hearing anything from God years and years and years ago, and they just decided to pick up the program of whatever man's saying to keep this thing going. There's other letters to the seven churches that help them out. Still churches, right? But this has been taken now with care, but I would say that this, even this context, the Holy Spirit has said specific things to us. And again, I'm just reviving this for you. What will you do? And then you see these things that God said would be happening for Barak and for Deborah. The 10,000 men are with him. Now, verse 11 identifies here Heber the Kenite, which was of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had severed himself from the Kenites, pitched his tent in the plains of Zaanaim, which is by Kadesh. So they're near where the troops are gathering. And they showed Sisera that Barak, son of Abinoam, was gone up to Mount Tabor. Now, as this begins to play out, we don't know which way this is going at first. Again, obviously, if you read through it, but in this context of, they're the ones who, they reported to Sisera that Barak's gathering troops. Now, I remind you now that verse 7, what God will do. So don't get skittish when the things that must happen in order to bring about the work of God begin to happen. So don't be surprised when trouble comes or difficulty or opposition. What do you know many times? Many times where God is going to really move powerfully, you'll find yourself opposed. Now, as the report goes to Sisera, he gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron. What did God say he would do in verse 7? He would gather the enemy together. Now, what we learned last week, why do we need the Spirit of God to come upon us? Because we're at all-out war. This is all-out spiritual warfare at this point. And I'll be honest, in many ways, we're losing. Okay? Now, we win the final in the end, but when I call us to awake over the souls of men and women who live in this city and call us to pray and cry out for mercy and set this forth, who've been called to preach the gospel to North Dakota, and again, we're just getting moving. And so what we learn here is that God does gather the enemy, all 900 chariots. So all the people were with him, and 900 chariots, and that part from, they stretch all the way from the north down into Tabor. There's another valley that comes in that way. If you're driving from Sea of Galilee, you come up that way on that side. There's another valley on that side of Tabor, and then Jezreel's in front of it. So they're stretched up all the way that goes up to Galilee. Harosheth of the Gentiles under the river Kishon, just like God said he would do. Now, look at 14 with me. And Deborah said unto Barak, up. Or it's as equal to say stand. You know, listen closely to the things that are in the scriptures. Ephesians 6, it's the call to warfare. It's the call to spiritual armament. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. So she calls him to, again, it says up here, but you look at the word, it's as equal to say stand, for this is the day which the Lord has delivered Sisera into thy hands. And having done all to stand in that evil day, Ephesians 6, now, do you believe that we're prepared for that, or being prepared for that evil day, and that's part of that? Someone, a people of God, a living people of God, will hear the Spirit and will stand. Deborah says to Barak, stand, this is the day. And then when he said what he would do, I will deliver him. And notice how that prophecy now exhorts. You've heard what God has said, now get up and do it. Now, I say things like that to all of you at some point. And stirring you up, and even phrases like, you've been here this long, what are you doing for the Lord? Where's the fruit now? What are you going to be doing? What's God calling you to do? And I guess just keep working through that. What does God have for you? This is not the time now to think, well, this is just a place that I attend. We're way past that. And with everything that God's been doing with us and decided that I'm here, you've had a chance to already go, and you decided to stay. So I know that you're here, and then the things, as you're just working out those calls. So don't be surprised when you have a call of God upon your life, and I'm like, hey, aren't you called to do this? See, these are my interactions. This is that part where we need to be that church that's praying and hearing the Spirit of God. And don't sit back there and think that you're going to be the one that hears the Spirit. Because, again, as you remove that perception, another in this body of believers can hear the Spirit of God. Don't count it like, well, I didn't hear it. Deborah says, stand or up, for this is the day the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thy hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? Now look at that phrase. Okay? And this is for you to decide. And Deborah causes Barak to see with spiritual eyes. So I don't know how you look at it. Here's what I hear in the word, and that's what I see. 7 was, I will draw them. You're going to have 10,000 men with you at Tabor. That's your part. Do that. God will draw the 900, and he will deliver them into your hands. And all Deborah is saying to him, what God said he would do, open your eyes and see this is what's happening. Now, when the Lord said to us, he set before us an open door. Okay? And he told us that an open door goes two ways. An open door for the gospel. So you can give through that door, and through that giving, then we would be able to share the gospel at our outdoor service in March in North Dakota. Okay? Now, that in itself was for us to hear. And I don't know if any of you looked at that whole service and saw that thing, and in your eyes, if you scoffed and mocked at that, like some of the men who scoffed and mocked at Pastor Chick's word of knowledge that he brought to the men's conference. And I'm just again putting this forth to us in this way, and again, a bit of a serious tone with us tonight, to see in the scriptures that this is the way God is. And again, can you see this? Look, the Lord has gone before you. Look, God is doing this. And then a couple weeks ago, I brought to your attention that one of the words of knowledge that someone who was there, if they didn't repent, was going to end up in jail. Now, that's happened. Now, when I say it that way, that should be enough now. And again, the second one that he had said, I'm just watching and waiting. Who didn't get that one? Who didn't listen and get that right? See, the Lord has gone before thee. So Barak went down from Mount Tabor and 10,000 men after him. Now, I'm just going to say something to you here that if you catch it, Tabor is mountains. Chariots don't go up mountains. Okay? If you're going to fight an army with chariots, what do you tactically do? You stay in the mountains and make them come to you. What does God do? He sends them down. This is the part when you're going to, all the things the Lord's been talking about, lose your life, lay down your life, carry your cross, okay? Stop whining and complaining about your self life, right? Go to your white funeral, get it over with, right? Go to your white funeral where you agree together with God that my flesh must be crucified so I can serve God and I'm going to live for him, okay? And when he says, do it this way, then what do you do? You do it that way. He says, leave the mountains. And this, he went down from the mountain, and his 10,000 men go right out into the plain where the chariots are at. And then verse 15 happens. The Lord discomfited Sisera. Some versions say ruined. What's yours got in there? Routed. Now what happens if first of all, if he didn't get to Mount Tabor, none of that happens. But what happens if he says, no, I gotta stay in Mount Tabor? See, and all I'm doing for us tonight is this. What the Holy Spirit says to you, my word to you is, you know it's the Holy Spirit that said that to you, get up and do it. Let's cut this middle ground living out. Let's cut this middle ground living out where we do nothing and see nothing. Again, the Lord discomfited Sisera. Now, when they sing the song in chapter 5, which we'll see if we can do that next week. When they sing the song in verse 5, it says that it rained so much that the chariots got stuck in the mud. And all of a sudden, the chariot was no longer helpful. But now you got this mess of horses and everything stuck. Sisera gets off. Barak pursued. So Sisera lighted off his chariot and fled away. Barak pursued after the chariots and after the host unto Harosheth of the Gentiles, all the host of Sisera, and there was not a man left. So he killed them with the edge of the sword. Again, another reference to the word of God. We saw that last week. Again, I believe that's the edge of the sword. Sisera fled away on his feet, and he goes to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. There was peace between Jabin, king of Hetzor, and the house of Heber. Jael went out to meet Sisera and said unto him, turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear not. And when he had turned in unto her into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. Listen, they know the battle. They know what's coming. They've watched it. Jael knows what's happening. She goes out and meets him, meets Sisera, has him turn in and covers him up. He asks for water in verse 19. I pray thee a little water to drink, for I'm thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk and gave him to drink and covered him up. And he said again to her, stand in the door of the tent, it shall be when anyone does come and inquire of thee and say, is there any man here? You shall say unto him, no. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent, took a hammer in her hand, and went softly unto him, smote the nail into his temples, and fastened it to the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, and so he died. Now, remember verse 9? You're going to go on this journey, but the real honor is going to go to a woman. Now, here's what we do have and know. That which honor could have been to Barak had he gone forth with boldness and said, like, I will go. Now, that's where I want to bring us all the way through. Where each and every one of us hearing from the Spirit of God, day by day, week by week, or my encouragement to you as we put this forth, you pray, you plan, pray and participate. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Get up and do those things that the Holy Spirit says to do. Now, Jael, in case you were wondering, in the culture of the day, the women would have their own tents. She can handle herself around a tent peg and a hammer. Okay? She's put up and take down tents many times. Now, one of the ongoing battles in the church is women in ministry. Right? So as you read through the scriptures, again, Paul says what? I do not permit a woman to usurp, again, have authority over man, or teach. That's it. That's it. Now, when I describe Deborah, Jael, and you know why I'm always teaching the men here? Because you women will go along, unless you're contentious or secretly contentious or pretending submission. But you will come along with your men. And that's why I said, if I get the men in church, most churches are formed for women. And then men don't like to go to church. Even when guys are singing, I tell the guys who are singing, sing where the guys can sing. Right? Now, in laying this forth in this way, Jael comes, kills him. Barak shows up in 22 as he was pursuing Sisera. Jael come out to meet him and said, come and I will show you the man whom thou seekest. And when he came into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temples. She just nailed him to the ground and left him there. That's it. God subdued on that day Jabin, king of Canaan, before the children of Israel. Okay, so the commander of Sisera is killed. Now, just lay this forth a little bit. Spurgeon did a sermon where he likened Satan as the ruler of this world, as the king Jabin with Sisera, his commander, and he took Sisera to be sin, where Satan is king and then sin is his commander. Always trying to get Christians to do what? To sin. If he can get them captured in sin, sinning, then they're not fighting, they're not winning, they're not sharing the gospel, they're not reading the Bible, they're not winning that victory. And just a great teaching on killing sin in our lives. Again, you can take that for what it's worth. So there's many ways to draw the meaning and understanding out of this for us. But I want you to get in 23, God subdued on that day. And then the hand of the children of Israel prospered. And then they finally destroy Jabin. That's where we wrap up tonight. Now I'm preparing this. And also preparing this not just for us, but for you individually. Next week we're going to do prayer. Prayer and worship. We started the year that way. Again, I've been praying, and I believe the Holy Spirit says you came into the year in the first 6 months with prayer and worship. And we needed to hear from God, and we heard from God. How about this one? Does anybody remember Should you have a gradual change or should you make all the changes at once? Okay. So now I'm anticipating to set up for next week when we come back Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. So 5 out of the 7 days next week, we'll gather here at 7 o'clock for worship and prayer, as you can make it. I know you might have other plans, but it, maybe you can move those. I don't know. What's up to you? But I'm going to come with the intent of us gathering together as a church to hear the things that the Spirit says to us. And now my encouragement to you, let's get those things that He has previously said to us, and let's get them done. Let's do them. Let's rise up and do those things that God has said for us to do. So Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for the Word of God. We thank You for the truth of the Holy Spirit at work and the mighty power of God through wisdom, knowledge, and prophecy. How You can speak, and then, Lord, that's You. What You will do, and You did it. And here we are tonight, Lord, calling upon You to do great and mighty things. We're pleading with You for a city. We're crying out for mercy. Lord, we've been praying for years for a work of salvation. And we call upon You tonight and are reminded the things that You told us to do. And to do those things You told us to do. And again, we'll revive those, Lord, as we have hear what the Spirit says and what it means for us to do those things. And then, Lord, we trust You that You will do what You said You're going to do. So, Lord, with this vision that You've given us, we wait for it. We tarry, Lord, until it's time. We trust and believe in You that You're going to bring a mighty work of salvation to our city. We trust and believe in You, Lord, that You've brought the Muslims and the Hindus and the people from Milwaukee, Chicago, Minneapolis here to get saved. Lord, we, again, I drive now in our city and I see license plates from all over this country. Lord, I know in the beginning when You gave Psalm 98 and said of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, I couldn't figure it out from Psalm 98. I couldn't figure it out in the early 2000s, but I see it now. 20 years later, Lord, tonight, 20 years of oppression under the enemy, and then You acted. And so we wait, and though it tarries, we wait for it. And we ask You to fulfill Your vision, what You've given us to bring salvation to Fargo, to Moorhead, to West Fargo. Lord, we ask for a mighty working power. Lord, many times we call it revival, but as I study through Judges, I see that's the answer to all the cries for mercy. So, Lord, we're crying out now for mercy that You would send forth Your Spirit, revive Your church and save and turn us around, turn around Your church in this town and cause the gospel to go forth again in power. So here we are tonight, Lord, asking for the Holy Spirit once again. And I ask that You would cause our ears to hear Your Holy Spirit, what we heard in from the church of Sardis. And then when Your Holy Spirit said, no longer Sardis. So we worship You tonight, and we ask Your Spirit to come upon us. Lord, how You spoke to Deborah, and she was hearing from You. Lord, I ask that You would speak to me as the pastor of the church, that I would hear what You're saying, so I can tell Your people what You're saying to us. Lord, we love Your Word. We're close to Your Word tonight. And we ask of You, Lord, that You would strengthen us to put away the idols, put away the things of this world, and follow after You, and worship You only. So I ask of You tonight, Lord, as You've given us Romans 12 as prophecy, we previously have heard from You to be a Romans 12 genuine church. So just receive that exhortation tonight to get up and do that. And that You will do what You're going to do. And we trust You for it. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.